Thanks for joining us today at Liberty City Podcast. Liberty City values each person's unique experience with faith, and we hope that this word impacts you today.
1 Thessalonians 5:16 says this. It says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." The thing I love about that second part after the semicolon is that as Christians, we can be really good at like dodging God's will for our lives. You know, we read the word, we're like, nah, it's context. You know, like it's, you know, like it was written for a different time, you know, but this is actually like a really clear directive to us as Christians. It says in 1 Thessalonians, which is in the New Testament, and it was written at a time where like a lot of these books are like holiness books written to help us live. So when I read this, I read it through the lens of the writer of 1 Thessalonians trying to help me with my life. And it says this, rejoice always. And I think that we've had a great example of rejoicing this week with Alex and Andy painting their home. Well, it's Alex's home, isn't it? Because you guys live together. Oh, yeah, cool. So like I was confused. But so they hate painting, and Andy does just hate hard work of any kind. But watching them, you wouldn't know that watching them paint because they've just been having a great time. We rejoice always, the Bible says, always. Pray continually. That for me, as an optimist, is the first part is not necessarily hard, although always is a long time, but pray continually. Another translation says, pray without ceasing. And these two scriptures here, 16 and 17, are the two shortest verses in the Bible, along with Jesus wept in John 6:11, I think. And then it says, give thanks in all circumstances. That's difficult. For this is God's will for your life in Christ Jesus. And Psalm 9 verse 1 says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all of my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. We thank you for this time together. That on a Thanksgiving weekend, we have just taken a minute, just a second to come out of our weekend celebrations or time away or whatever it might be, just to take a second to recognize you and recognize that you are the owner of this day, this weekend, that you are the owner of thanks, and we come to give thanks to you. We honor you, Lord, for everything that you've done for us, for all that you're doing through us. We pray, Father, that we would take the scripture and in all circumstances, we would know what it means to give thanks. And everybody said, an old hymn says this. It says, when upon life's billows you are tempted most, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. The other day, I was doing highs and lows at dinner with the family. Nads and I there with our four children, and they're almost all involved in that process. Highs and lows for us is talking through the highlights and the lowlights of the day. And I think it's important to mention the lowlights. Otherwise, the kids think it's difficult or not normal to have a bad day. So we like to highlight bad things as well. So what happened that was bad? Oh, this happened. But what happened that was good? And we used to attach a joke at the end. So you'd go highlight, lowlight, joke. But that just became, the process started taking so long that like we finished dinner and Mika's still talking. You know what I mean? Like, and so we did highlights and lowlights, and Hugo has been going to school now for about a couple of months now, and he was there, and he's just really started opening up in the highlights and lowlights. Vocabulary at school, obviously going through the roof, and he's like, and Hugo, what was your highlight? Hugo runs the table. He starts, and then he directs who goes next, trying to just really get him involved in the whole thing. He's like, every time he starts, he goes, my highlight was my day. That's every day. My highlight was my day, you know. And then he spent the first 3 weeks talking about Madame Anique, which is his teacher, and Miss Gleason. She also got a shout out. He's like, my highlight was my day. What else happened today? He goes, oh, Madame Anique, you know, and then he was talking about her. But just the other day, he goes, oh, my highlight was my day. He says, my brain, and he's like, my brain and my heart is cracked. And we were like, oh, we're like, this, we should consider bringing a health professional here. What's the story? What happened? And we're like, really, what happened? And he's like, oh, very busy. You start talking to him about his day and getting a feel for what's going on, and then he might like he doesn't really drive with the low light. Then he like kicks on. He's like, Ryder, and then Ryder will talk, and then it will kick on to Mika, and like those moments as a family are just special moments, wonderful moments as a family. And but then what it can happen is in that family, it's funny, we're a church family, and we can have highlights and lowlights. Now we get together, and there's always things that are great. And I think that as a person and as a church, we should be good at highlighting the good things. But then also, too, you can kick on and have these bad moments, these awkward moments. And then, like, after dinner, like, Ryder and Mika are really great at cleaning up. You know, if you've ever come to our house for dinner, if you haven't, please come. And if you haven't, if you have come, you would have noticed that they're amazing at cleaning up. Phenomenal, you know. And sometimes they'll do it without, they'll just be ninjas. Just come and collect things, be like taking plates. Before you know it, it's like, oh, and the guests are really happy. But then sometimes they bicker in the kitchen. You know, they'd be just like mouthing off at each other. And then you're like, hey guys, like in our family, we have a three-strike system. If you get three strikes, that's bed. And regardless, I don't care what time of the day it is. It could be 4:15 in the afternoon. Three strikes, good night, we'll see you later. And their thing's always like, what about dinner? Like that's like the main issue. You know, like then I'm like, no, you get additional sleep, you can eat later. Here, take a cucumber, you know? And they're in the kitchen, and sometimes they'll be like, have the best day, no strikes whatsoever, and then get three in quick succession. So they'll be in the kitchen, and then like, hey guys, come on, I just think you should talk politely to one another. I try and always, and I don't fulfill this, but I always try and talk to the children like they're adults. And we've done that like since they were young. Talk them through what's actually happening. Hey, so in our family, we don't talk to one another like that. This is why. It's belittling. It's condescending. It's just rude. And yeah, okay, Dad, yeah, sorry. Sorry, Ryder, you know, sorry, Mika. And then that's a strike, you know. Ooh, you know, they're like, and then they always go, that I'm just on one. They always want an update. I'm just on one strike, hey. Yeah, you know. But then bang, two. But they don't realize yet that like two is only one away from three. If you played the game The Settlers of Catan, when someone's on nine, you better get your act together, because in one more round they could win. They're going to start reaping, and they got a sneaky victory point they might play. They're like, this is close. Two is close to three. And it's infinitely closer than they were two strikes ago when they were on zero. And before you know it, bang, three strikes. And then they'd make a fuss going to bed. Then the whole night's derailed by discipline. And I was like, come on, man. Go to sleep, you know. Next one, I'm getting out the chloroform, trying to put them to sleep. You know what I'm saying? It's a joke. It's a joke. Total joke. Tongue in cheek. It's a relaxed service, whatever. We're just having a good time. And there are moments where things like that happen, and then I absolutely kick on from Thanksgiving, 100%. Or I'm no longer giving thanks for the children. I'm like, these kids, man. Like I was talking to someone earlier who said, hey, man, you know, Nadi won't be happy about this. Chris Vandering got rid of his dog. Yeah, I know, and not to us. Praise be. And so he's like, oh, yeah, man, you know, gave the dog away. And I was like, oh, man, I do that all the time with my kids, you know, like trying to just give them away, you know. Having a bad day, tongue in cheek, of course. But, you know, you have these moments where you're like so thankful, and then you kick on into like, why do I have these gremlins in my house? They provide no rent, no board, no genuine moral or emotional support in any way, shape, or form. If it wasn't for the great school bus system that we have in Canada, I would have to be like forking out more travel and mileage and time in my day to drop them off at school. And they can't even clean up properly. There's rice on the floor. And then I'm ranting. Now I'm ranting. And then it occurs to me what I've done. Not even necessarily to them, because I think my treatment of them was quite reasonable. I realize what I've done, which I have entirely removed Thanksgiving from my life. Then it occurs to me that I actually asked God for these kids. That there are people that cannot have children. And I have been blessed with four of them. That I've got these kids that are a gift from God, the Bible says. And here I am ranting about the most ridiculous and unreasonable of things. Because at the age of 11 and 9, the fact that they are even cleaning one dish, their own, let alone the whole table, is something to be thankful for. It occurred to me that I'm ranting about how frustrated I am. When you go back right to the beginning, I'm the one who asked God for it in the first place. I had no kids. I had a beautiful wife with no children. And people say to me, oh, you got four kids. You must love kids. Oh, no, friend. I love my wife. Amen. have no kids, want kids, ask God for kids, He delivers the kids. We now have kids. I'm mad at what God gave me. Isn't this your journey and my journey with jobs and friends, and relationships, His church? Like, we could go through the list. Man, I'm isolated. I'm not in community. And then God gives us a community to be a part of. Now I hate the community, you know? Like, I don't have anywhere to live. I can't find viable accommodation. And then God provides us with a home, excuse me, which I hate. It's in the wrong suburb. The price is too much. It's not on the bus route. Like, everything, we can decide what to do with what He gives us. And the Bible's really clear. It just says, look, hey, just like with the circumstances of your life, just rejoice. Pray all the time. Give thanks in all circumstances. When this week I was in Australia, and at some stage in the last 10 days I was there. I was there for 7 days. I did the little tiki tour through the east coast of Australia. Started in Melbourne, then I went to Sydney, New South Wales, then Brizzy, then the Gold Coast. I preached 9 times in 6 days. I preached, I think, I don't know, to 4,500 people during the week. Saw hundreds of kids get saved and thousands of young people filled with the Holy Spirit. Like, it was an awesome, awesome time. But if you've ever been to Australia, and shout out to Nathan, shout out to Rach. By the way, a lot of people say hello. Renee Bennett, Cam Bennett, and many others whose names I forget because this is an off-the-cuff thank you to you. And I just saw you take a photo through the curtain, creeped me out. 100%. When you're in Australia, beautiful, beautiful country. Like, they have so much vitamin D, they should share it with the rest of us. Like, it's just a wonderful place, especially that East Coast there. You could just, like, catch an hour flight, like, economy's strong, people are just pouring money, especially Brizzy, where these two are from. In the last 10 years, Brisbane has got its act together. That's throwing money at that place, like, beautiful place to be, hospitality, coffee, brilliant. And you're there, you're like, they're like, oh man, how's the church? And everyone knows about our church. How's the church going, man? Looks amazing. You know, and Nadia's so smart. Nadia, well, that she's so smart is an entire understatement. She's preaching at this conference and she's like, this is my family. You know, photos, you know, everyone, look at all the women. Oh my gosh, amazing kids. Who's that fella? You know what I mean? That's my husband, you know. And, you know, and the kids. And then she's like, this is our church. And she's like, this is our first gathering of the church. Which the first gathering of our church was Josh and Rachel Spencer, Mike and Dallin Humphrey, Nards and I, and our four kids having lunch. That was the very first gathering, and Haley. So there were 7 adults, 4 kids. So the first gathering of our church was 11 people. This is nice. This is a great day, actually. There's about this many people, you know. And we're there over our breakfast bar having chicken and chicken rolls with coleslaw and mayonnaise. I mean, the church is established on this meal, people, you know. And then she's like, oh, and this is our church right now. So she's like, this was last year. This is our church right now. And she showed a photo of our Sunday gathering about 3 weeks ago. And it was all the way to the back wall. And the place went nuts, you know. And I'm like, far out. I need to learn how to do good stuff like that. Because I was just like, hey, what's up? You know, like, good to be here. We got a Bible. Cheers. You know, whatever. And people always ask me about the church. Then they ask about Canada. The two are synonymous because that's the only place where our church exists. They're like, tell us about Canada. Tell us about the winter time. And you talk, and then you're like, oh, man. Oh, I just bought a season pass for Camp Fortune, which is a local ski field, 22 kilometers from my house. I said, we have the largest outdoor skating rink in the world. Man-made, God-made combination. Start talking about Ottawa. When you get to times in your life that you find it hard to give God thanks for, that's when you need to dig deep and make sure you give Him thanks. Because it's easy to give God thanks when it's 30 degrees, you're having you know, whatever, some cold beverages on a patio, and just hanging out with your friends, having Asian fusion, doing whatever you want, Dow's Lake and Umbrella, having the best time with the chicken burger for $15. It's easy to give God thanks on vacation. Wake up taking photos. How good's God? Well, of course He's good there. What about on those days when it's hard? That's why it doesn't say, the verse does not say, Rejoice on good days. Give thanks in some circumstances. Pray on the odd occasion. This is God's will for your life. Because all of us would go, choice, I need do nothing and be an excellent Christian. They say, man, what about all the time? What about giving him thanks? Because it just makes it just a little bit more difficult, because we understand that there are large parts of our life where we find it hard to be thankful. Of all of the things about North America, having been born and spent 35 years of my life in New Zealand, of all the things about North America that I love, I tell you what, oh, the golden leaves, red leaves of the fall. Haley posted today, she said, by the way, that was an outstanding offering. She posted today, not only Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. I just thought that that was so funny. I need to tell her, I didn't tell her. I just thought that was hilarious. Oh, I loved it so much. So true though, the fall, like beautiful. But another one of the traditions of this sort of continent that I love and have sort of vibed from afar, but now that I'm here, Nadia said it's only her second Thanksgiving. Someone's doing the math. They're like, well, no, pretty sure you're not two. And even if you were born on a leap year, you'd still be, you know, six or something. Whatever, just do the math. But it's just park that, don't worry about that as a tangent. Because we've only been here for 2 years. Two Thanksgivings. I think this is one of the great traditions of this country, because this weekend we get to like just carve out a moment, take a minute and give thanks. And I don't know if there's many more things that we could do that are more Christian in our lives than that. If you're taking notes, I've got a few very simple thoughts for us before I wrap up. The first one is this: when it comes to Thanksgiving, what you appreciate appreciates. What you and I, what we love, grows in value. Thankfulness adds value. A friend of mine, and you know people like this, a friend of mine bought a home a few years back, and it was just like a get-in-the-market kind of home. You know, it was just a get-in-the-market kind of suburb. And instantly, you and I both had a price and a suburb in mind just then, which would go without naming. It's a get it. It was a first home kind of street. In a first-time kind of suburb, at a first-time kind of price. I think that he used the government. In Canada, do you have first home buyers, like help, financial help? He used that, all of that. As much as he could find of other people's money, he used it. He stole some cash, whatever, bought this house. But the moment that he brought it, he appreciated it. The moment that he bought it, painted it, landscaping. And he's not a handyman. Just ask friends, would you mind helping? Could you do this? Could we do this? Just extend it. Just always made sure. And nothing, there was no, I don't think he put in, he might have put in a new kitchen, but there was no massive extensions on the house or nothing that was like out of this world. Just low key, but just appreciated it. At the same time, another friend of ours bought a home in a similar area in another part of town, another part of Wellington, but didn't appreciate that house as much as the other friend. He didn't hate it. It wasn't graffitiing on the walls. You know, using the wooden floorboards to start a fire. Like, it's not like this guy was just destroying his home. He just didn't view it the same. He didn't view it like, man, you know what? This is actually God's gift to me, and I'm going to be as good to this house as I possibly can. And it was amazing to think, in quite comparable suburbs, what the capital value of the houses were by the time they both decided to sell. Because what you appreciate, appreciate. That's an example of a home. It's an example of capital value. And all of us are like, yeah, I get that. What about your marriage? What about your friendships? What you appreciate, appreciates. If you get in my car right now, don't do it, because you walk in and you'll be like, hypocrite. You know, cars just horrific. I mean, there are just, we had toffee apples from there's like a pumpkin farm in Barhaven. We went there on Saturday. Yesterday. That was yesterday. Lots happened since then. 21 Ks, whatever. Like, not a big issue. Like, just ran for 2 hours. It's awesome, you know. And we went there, and it's like, holy, the size of these pumpkins, man. Some of these pumpkins were so big. Like, Ryder's like, Dad, I want this one. I was like, yeah, bro, let's do it. Oh, I tell you what, Ryder. This one doesn't agree with me. Let's get another. Start looking at these pumpkins, toffee apples. So now in the car, we've got kids' things all throughout. So I say, don't, please, just give me a second before you have a look. But up until like really like of late, I've been an avid car cleaner, avid, inside and out, because I do believe that my first car was a 1989 Honda Integra. And it was like, my dad who bought it for me, he's like, I bought your car. He's like, you're going to love it. It's gold. And I was like, nah, yeah, sure. You know, clearly don't know me very well, you know, because I'm not sure that a gold car would be very cool at all. Turned out he was wrong. Wasn't gold. It was brown with a hint of bronze, you know, which I think in 89 it was probably gold. But I loved that car. Looked after that car. Got that car serviced as often as my bank account could afford. Did everything that I could to make sure that, because that car is a blessing through my earthly father, but every gift comes from God. Every good and perfect gift, the Bible says, comes from Him. So I looked after it. And then before you know it, like, was able to afford to buy my own car. Then another, and I'm 35. I've been driving since I was 16. I've had a bunch of cars. But each car, I've tried to make sure that they're valid, because they're a depreciating asset. If you can get any money back on a car that you sell, it's probably because you've appreciated it. Relationships, your home, your workplace. So funny at work, isn't it? Because you go to work, you know, I certainly do that. And you talk with your colleagues. I've got heaps of those. Irma, how are you? You know. But when you go to your workplace, it's amazing to think those staff members at your workplace that inspire you. Why do they inspire you? Are they normally there a little bit earlier than most? Stay a bit later than most? I'm not saying you should be a workaholic. I actually don't think that's healthy. I don't think you should work nights. I don't think you should work in the weekend. I think you should rest. I think rest is more valuable to you than work. I do believe that. But they're there early. They've kind of like cleared their emails before they start work. Short lunch breaks. They just do those things that just, they're high integrity people. But every team that they're a part of, they add value to, because they just appreciate what they do. Thankfulness is prayer's partner. The Bible says, and Mike, would you mind putting up that 1 Thessalonians verse just one more time? It says, rejoice always, pray continually, and then it goes on to say, give thanks. And so you've got rejoicing and thankfulness, which is like the bread and the sandwich, but right in the middle is prayer. It's as if the verse is saying, like, let's pray all the time, but make sure that you sandwich that prayer with thankfulness. Prayer is a conversation. You and I have conversations all the time. We'll have one straight after this. And we'll be talking and hanging out. And you know, when you talk to someone and they're like an energy vampire, you know, no names, of course. I would never suggest someone's name, you know, when it comes to an illustration like this. And you talk and you can feel the energy drain. This person doesn't understand the value of rejoicing and giving thanks. But when you talk to someone and they're optimistic, full of life, and when you walk away, you're like, man, I could run through a brick wall, you know? Don't try it. But you feel like you could, because that person's giving you life. It's prayer's partner. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. Second thing I notice about thankfulness is this, is you replicate what you celebrate. You replicate what you celebrate. When it comes to celebrating things in life, you and I, whatever we celebrate, it multiplies in our life. So like in your relationships or in your home, whatever you really speak well of, that thing normally ends up growing. If you've got kids, then you'll understand that to be true. Because when you have children and you celebrate in them, whatever that might be, that value grows in their life. That attitude grows. That behavior grows. That's what God does with us. He accepts us and loves us, but at the same time, He celebrates the right attributes in us. And so like at the moment, Ryder has just taken off with sketching, which is no surprise because Nadia has a degree in fine arts. So it's no surprise to me. Highly creative. But his sketching, like he draws these dragons that I'm just like, bro. But then he like, the other day he drew like a wolf or like a coyote or something. And I was like, I don't know if you do this, but like, you know, when your kids or anyone else's kids, they show you something, you give it that first glance, so sick, you know, I love it, you know. And I was, he's like, dad, he literally had a sketchbook full of sketches that he had sketched in the week that I was away. And he's like going through, I was like, bro, so sick. I was like, yo, hang on a minute. I thought it was, and Jaden came over and asked the same question. Did you trace that? I used to love tracing so much because you get mad credit for other people's, you know, other people's up on the TV, you know. And he's like, oh, no way. He goes, look at this. And then he flicked through. Now, Nadia would tell me this, and having done a few sketches in my time, I found this to be true as well, that the human face, especially lips and eyes, very, very difficult to draw. And so he starts flicking through, and he'd sketch these faces, just regular human faces. And I was like, bro. He goes, yeah, I've been doing some study, and you can see like his clear lines. Maybe you taught him clear lines about how to like get everything like all lined up nicely. And I'm like, this is actually phenomenal. Like, that's a genuine gift. Like, go that way, my son. Like, yes, bro, amazing. He does the same thing with maths. He came home one day and just like smoked this maths test. You know, like 10 out of 12 or something. I was like, bro, dude, you're a mathematician, bro. You can do whatever you want. You'll be a rocket scientist. This is Jake Knoll. Meet him. Like, you guys just need to just collaborate on some stuff here, you know? And he's like, yeah, you reckon? I was like, bro, 10 out of 12 on a math test? I got 26% for year 12, which would have been in Canada year 11, statistics, which got rounded up, thank you to the bell-shaped curve, to 46, and I passed. 26. And his writer just like, and I was like, bro. So since then, every day he'll talk about math. Gets to the point now he's like overconfident. He'll be like, psh, had a math test today, nothing but a thing. You know, like. But what you celebrate in others, it multiplies, it replicates. You're watering that thing. I've been harping on to Nadia about a bonsai tree for some time. And then the other day she bought me one. So thankful for it. So I did some study on how to feed a bonsai. Because all you want to do is Miyagi that thing. All you want to do is clip away, you know? And I was like, I'm not going to buy some nice scissors for fear of just destroying this thing. Like, I just want to just chill. So I found this nice spot in the house for it where, you know, I read, you know, some reviews and stuff, whatever. You know, just doing some research. It's nothing. It's not a big thing. It's part of my life. I just like to just research and do it, spend hours. It's no big dramas. Like, I'm loath to bring it up. And so I put it in the right spot, but instead of cutting it, I just was watering it. Just feeding it, just feeding it, just feeding it, just feeding it. And then all these leaves started falling off. And I must admit, like, I was nervous for my mate, you know, Bruce. So Nadia's like, hey, you know. And look, I just don't feel like there's a lot of foundation for her to stand on because most of her trees die. And so she's like, hey, I'm not sure about your bonsai tree. And in my head, I was like, neither am I. But outwardly, I was like, 100% got under control. Don't worry about it, you know. Then I start, and I'm doing it. But I'm testing the soil, which should feel like a damp cloth. Okay, so not too dry, but not, you don't want it too moist. Just like a damp cloth. So then I was like, you can put an ice cube on it if you like. It's going to melt clearly and water the soil. So I'm doing this thing. And all the leaves, you know, like 60% of the leaves fall off. And then all of a sudden, green shoots. Oh, I tell you what, as an owner of a tree, to watch that tree bud with fresh shoots was a wonderful thing. Because it's the tree saying, essentially, regardless of what you've seen, I'm actually healthy. And when you start to see that in the lives of your friends, people that you love, because you've been encouraging a certain attitude or attribute in them, it's a beautiful thing. Imagine how God feels when he's been encouraging us through 1 Thessalonians. Give thanks, rejoice, pray all the time. Don't worry about it. In all circumstances, it's going to be fine. The Bible says, consider it pure joy. Which we read that and like, you know, partial joy sometimes on a good day. Pure joy, my friends, when we face trials of any kind. And then God sees fresh life in us. Imagine how happy he is. As I close. Not just replicating what we celebrate. Not only just what we appreciate. But last, let me just say this. It's my great friend Andy. Who does double denim like no one. I know this guy. He's just got his lane. And he's just dominating. Is this. Carry confetti in your pocket. Carry confetti in your pocket. We need to, I believe, bring back the celebration. I think that if you made a sacred and secular divide, which I don't always think is very helpful, but in this illustration, I think it might be, that I feel like the secular has stolen the celebration, and now the secular world is known for the party, and the Christians are not. Huge generalization that I'm making. Receive it as such. The Christian generally is viewed as the party pooper, and the secular world is viewed as the person and the people that really know what it is like to party. And I would just like to redeem and rescue the party, because I think that if, when you think about heaven and the fact that the only time in the Bible that time is recorded in heaven is 30 minutes of silence, you must come to understand that heaven is loud the rest of the time. that if you think about what's happening, that they're singing, that there's choirs, angels upon angels, that there's a sea in heaven that's made of glass. Like, I don't think it's silent glass. Like, I think this thing is roaring. I think when you start to read and start to picture what heaven is like, this place goes off. Then the Bible says when one sinner comes back, all of heaven celebrates. So when one person comes back to God, like, first of all, heaven is noticing in order to celebrate. Like, that's something that they are measuring. But they're clearly looking out for that. Hey, ta! Place is going nuts. But then when you come into church, like, super solemn, you know, like, super quiet, it's like, yeah, whatever. And then someone does something great, and then we've got this whole, like, false humility thing. You know, like, you know, hey, you got a promotion, or you did this, or whatever. You know, like, nah, it wasn't me, man, you know, whatever. It was the Lord, you know. Yeah, clearly the Lord. Obviously it's Him, but He used you. You're doing it. You know, I text Jaden and I text Sam Smith this morning, because Jaden and I are like co-athletes under Sam's coaching regime, you know. And I was like, yo, and I ran the first 10 kilometers. I swore that I wouldn't use a half marathon illustration in here, but the cat's out the bag, whatever. And I said, from the 10th kilometer to the 17th kilometer, I pictured running with Jaden and with Sam, because we would often do about a 7K loop. So I pictured cemetery, extended cemetery pod loop. And I'm just picturing, just hanging, just enjoying it, you know. And I wanted to thank them. And I text Sam specifically, thank you, because like without you, I wouldn't have done that. I think that's a genuine praise, genuine thanks. But we diffuse to the point where we're like, ah, nah, never celebrate anything because it's always someone else that did it for me. I don't know about that. I think there comes a point when I got to the car, Nadia pulls up, I'm like eating my banana. I got a medal. Awesome. And I'm like, yo, and Nadia's like, I'm so proud of you. I was like, yes. And I receive it. What I've done is worthy of my wife's pride. We are not a family of runners. We, my friend, are swimmers. No, which is not what not runners say. You know, I hate running. I love swimming though, but you never swim. Not, you know. So there's this woman that I know. She runs a church in LA. And like 100%, I've seen it. Not that I often look at other women's purses. But she showed me that in her purse, she carries at all times a snap lock sandwich bag full of confetti. And so what she'll do is she'll like, something will happen that's worthy of God's praise. Like genuinely like, oh, you know, like this always happens in the supermarket. And you get a text, you're like, oh, anything. Someone did something great, friend got engaged, got a promotion at work, whatever it might be. And get it, and you're like, ah, but you're like in the supermarket, no one makes noise there, no one shouts or high fives. You can't find like the guy packing the shelves, bro, crazy story, he doesn't care, you know. So she reaches into her bag, opens up the snap lock bag of confetti, throws it in the air and walks underneath it. That is her watershed moment of celebrating what God is doing. I don't know if she cleans it up, and I don't know if you've ever had confetti down the back of your t-shirt, you know, it's frustrating. But she just makes sure that she celebrates and gives God praise for when He's worthy of receiving that praise. I saw a mum recently, maybe a couple of years ago on Instagram, and she's like, oh, I love to make sure I have parties for my kids at all times. No reason needed, just party. They get home, there's a party. And I was like, oh, that sounds great, but like expensive? That was like my first thought. I was like, oh, you know, I'm not sure I can afford regular parties. And she's like, and then on the thing, it explained. She goes, most parties only have three things that make them a party. Balloons, 100%, popcorn, and bunting. So she's like, I can get popcorn, pop them at home, balloons and bunting for less than $10. So then when my kids come home, they walk into a party. And she'll make up what it's for on the spot. You know, they'll walk in, they're like, whoa, crazy. Hey, get to this party. She goes, yeah, amazing. Thank you guys so much for making your bed tomorrow. It's the best that you would do that, you know? And then they party. I just think we should not be so dry in our faith and in our Christianity that God, who's having a party in heaven, in this place that's constantly got a disco ball spinning, and we're down here trying to find things to give God praise for. When, and for the last time, would you mind, 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. And we take only one day a year. We should take more. Take a second, take a weekend, take a moment. Have some turkey or turducken. Never had one? Sounds exciting. And give God thanks. Thank you that I have breath, that I have life, that I have family, that I have friends, that I have a community, that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. The Bible says about sin, it says some nasty stuff about sin, which is what you and I do outside of God's will. It says for sin there must be a death, a price to be paid. The wages, Romans says, of sin is death. And so I sin all the time, have sinned for most of the day today. Bad thoughts, bad attitudes, all sorts of things. For that sin, the Bible says that the wages, the price of that sin is death. So if you buy like an 8-pack of like paper towels from Costco, $3 max, maximum. Your sin, death, minimum. Wow, we escalated from paper towels there quite quickly. But Jesus paid that price, so I didn't have to pay it. So he died on a cross so that I can live and have a second chance because of what he's done, because of what I've done. If there's any reason why you might at any moment of any day fail to find something to give God thanks for, start with that. Because he paid a price, a very high price for you and for me. And before I wrap up, and we can enjoy some what looks like, can't tell, amazing food in the back. Before we enjoy one another's company, I would love to make sure that I pray for people who are here today. And you're saying, man, I'm not right with God. Or maybe I once was, but I've slipped away, I've moved away. That people call it backslide. The slide is always backwards. If I'm away from Nadia, the slide is always backwards. When we come back together, it's like, oh man, far out, miss you. When we're together, we are strong. When we're not together, it's not like I come back and my life is improved without her. Without her, my life is always sliding backwards. Without God, your life is always sliding in one direction. But when we are with him, we are strong. When we are with him, we can understand the power of thanksgiving. And so if you're here and that's you, I'd love to pray with you before we close. Would you mind closing your eyes? Just for privacy's sake. You hear you saying, I don't know Jesus, I'm distant from him. I don't have a relationship with him. I'm not walking with God. I'm not right with him. I might use that language. I don't have an active relationship with God. If that's you, right now, before we close, before we hand over to Andy and the team, maybe to sing us a final song of worship before we wrap up this weekend's Thanksgiving service. If that's you, then I would love to pray a very simple prayer. That prayer is simple. I'll lead you in the prayer. It will only take a second, and you won't need to make up your own words. I'll give you words to say. We'll pray a prayer to God, and in that moment, I just know with all of my heart that getting your life right with God will change your life forever.
We are so glad you joined us at Liberty City Podcast. Please come check us out on social media and find an event to connect with us.